Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I really don't like people to try to figure out and be surprised, so I just tell you what I'm going to preach. I like to know what the one thing is, and I feel like for this message, there's just so much that we could talk about in the resurrection, but I just feel like God said, I really want you to talk about grace. And in context to when we're born again, we live this life and we're called to live. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And we need to walk in faith. But how do we walk in faith? Sometimes you wake up and you go, I had faith yesterday. Where to go? And I feel like grace is the key to walking in faith. So today I want to unlock that for you and hopefully bring a revelation of God's grace to assist you in that walk, that life that you have to live by faith on this earth. So I really want to take grace, unravel it, and look at it, and look how God brought it and how it was released in such a powerful way through the cross and through his resurrection. So that's where I'm going. Father, I pray that you take us there. I pray, God, that you would just, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint your words. And I pray, Father, that you would minister to each of our hearts that we could fulfill our mission and ministry on this planet. And to do that, Father, we need your grace daily. And we need it so that that substance of faith can be present in our lives every day, every moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many know that we read the Bible, but the Bible's without emotion when you read it? And do you know that on that time, just think about this. What was it like in Jerusalem around the time of the crucifixion? You know, by the time Jesus gets raised from the dead, but it was crazy in the city. I mean, all the Christians were like, a lot of them believed Jesus was just going to take the throne. There was a government was oppressing them, and he thought, they're going to just take this Roman oppression away from us, all their thoughts. And Jesus gets crucified, and a lot of them were just, they were blown away. There was a shock through the city. They didn't quite understand the cross. But in the midst of that, God did a miracle, and he raises Jesus from the dead, and then people start seeing him, and there was over 50 people that encountered Jesus. I mean, they said, I heard one statistic, if everybody took 15 minutes to recount their time, that what happened when they met Jesus, we'd be sitting here for like a day trying to hear all the testimonies that Jesus rose from the dead. What a powerful thing. You know, there was a man named Joseph Arimathea, not Mary and Joseph, but Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph was like one of those secret service Christians. He was an undercover Christian, kind of, because he was a Pharisee, and he didn't want to get kicked out with his Pharisee buddies, but he believed. But you'd have got really persecuted if you said you were a believer in that day. And, you know, he went to Pilate and said, I want the body of Jesus, and I want to put him in my own tomb. Wasn't that cool? And then I heard one of the people pulled him aside and just said, Joseph, what's up? They said, you got this beautiful tomb. They hand cut the stone by hand all out, and you just gave it to somebody. Why would you do that? And he just kind of smiled, and he said he only needed it for the weekend. Maybe he really didn't say that, but I don't know. Someone said, I'm just telling you. I know a guy. He told me. But, you know, just saying, Jesus rose. You can't say that in any cult, in any of these false religions. Jesus rose from the dead. God raised his son from the dead. And you can see it back in the Old Testament where there was a type and a shadow. But this is Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. So I want to come out of Luke chapter 24 today and read a little bit in that. And then I want to talk and break it down and bring us into the grace of God. Luke 24, verse 1 through 6. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they're kind of blown away. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These were angels. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the ground. And they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Say, he's risen. Is it he's not here, but he's risen? And they said, remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee. Jesus had been telling them, but they just weren't hearing it. He's risen. Say, he's risen. What a powerful thing. Reminds me of a story. There was this girl, and And this little girl lived by some woods, and I was kind of picture like Lord of the Ring woods where it was all dark, you know, when they went in, everybody was afraid to go in. Sorry, I like Lord of the Rings, whatever. But these dark woods. So she goes in these dark woods, and she goes into the woods, but she gets lost in the woods. Like, I love the woods. I go in the woods all the time. I stop. I turn around. I look all the time. People go, what are you doing? Because it looks different leaving than it does coming in, and I want to know how to get out. Hello, somebody. But even now we have all these tools. We put electronic breadcrumbs and everything, but whatever. She didn't have that. So basically, you know, she didn't, like, know how to get out. And when it starts to get dark, everything looks different when it gets dark. You may think you know your way around, but she was freaking out. She's crying. She's screaming. And she just was exhausted, and she fell asleep on a rock. And the search parties couldn't find her, and they had to give up. They didn't have the technology that we have in this day, and they didn't have the lights and stuff. And so they went in. Dad tries to sleep. How much sleep would you have got if you were the dad? Not much. He wakes up. He probably passed out himself crying. He gets up in the morning, and he rises up early, and the sun's just coming up, and he's just going through the woods frantically looking. Then he sees this little baby asleep on the rock. So he's screaming her name. He's running, sprinting towards her as fast as he can. And she gets kind of like surprised. She gets woken up, and there's her dad screaming her name, running, and she just like grabs him. And she starts saying, Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you, over and over. Who found who? Daddy, I found you. Mary went to the tomb looking for Jesus. And she bumps into him later. And who found who? The one she was looking for found her. Can I just tell you, the Bible tells us that God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son. He didn't just die for us. He died. He was crucified, died, buried, but God raised him from the dead. And just as that father rose up to go look for his lost child, Jesus, grace incarnate, has been looking for his lost children. Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains and all the people thereof. That means every single person on the planet, every false religion, every person who says they're atheist or whatever, they're all his. Some of them are just lost. And he wants them all to be found. People say, well, that one's going to hell for sure. I would have been fit that category. I look like one of the ones who'd been going to hell. But he was chasing me down. And you know why? John chapter 1, verse 14, it talks about how the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This was Jesus, full of grace and full of truth. What they didn't have, they had the written word, but they didn't have the grace Jesus brought on the scene. Jesus, the word, became flesh, full of grace and truth. So when we talk about grace, I'm not talking to you just about a doctrine. I'm not just talking to you about a concept. I'm not talking about a good thing you can do. I'm talking to you about a person who had flesh and blood, grace and truth. Grace took a form that we could see. I'll never forget this story about a family that went off and they went to the Easter service. And I remember when we were little, before my father died, my dad would stay home. We'd all go to church. He'd stay home. And I'm like, I want to stay home with Dad. Mom's like, you get in a car, little mister. We ain't staying home. I'm serious. Mom will, like, grab your ear in a loving way. And you know what I mean? We're going to church. There's no fooling around with this. But this guy stayed home. They went to church. And he just had a fight over it. And he's saying, why would God send his son to die that kind of death on a cross? I don't believe it. I can't believe it. So he's home. It's cold. It's in the Midwest, and he's there, and it's snow outside's on the ground, and this little bird keeps beating against the window, pop, 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 pop. And the guy's like, tries to open the window, the bird won't come in the house. He goes to the barn, and he opens the barn door and turns the light on, thinking the bird's going to go into the barn, and the bird's just beating himself against the window. And he was afraid. He went to the guy, he goes to the next one, he keeps beating his and he's going to kill himself, you know, and the guy's just freaking out. And he finally goes over. He's like, I try to open the door. If I could only become a bird and tell you I'm trying to help you, not hurt you. And then he just hit the snow, and he realized that God wanted to communicate to us, and he sent his son to come in the form of human flesh so that we could have an example, so we could have something that we could follow, that we could look and relate to. You say, well, Jesus never sinned, but he can relate with every sin because they were all put on him on the cross. He knows the shame of sin, even though he never committed one. He knows all your sorrow and pain, not because of he experienced everyone, but because they were put on him on the cross. You have someone who knows you and knows everything about you. And he walked on this earth as a man to show you, us, that you can walk on this earth full of the Holy Spirit. And he walked a sinless life. You can walk anointed on this earth. You can walk in faith. And that's what I'm talking to you about today, is that this grace is needed to walk out this life of faith. So here, even as this little girl and her father came and chased her down, Mary discovered that basically she was being chased down by grace. And I just believe I just believe grace is chasing you down. I believe grace is on a chase. I believe grace is chasing you down. The grace of God. I was chased down by the grace of God. I repelled people. Then they said, Jesus, I don't know why, I just hated him. I'm like, ugh. It's called a demon. I needed deliverance. Hello, somebody. I just didn't like to hear about God. God loves you. And I'm like, phew. But I came to a point where I realized everything I was taught, that God really was real, and I didn't want to go to hell. And I came and I got born again and said, God, forgive me. I do not want to go to hell. I believe you're real. I'm done fighting you. And grace met me at that place. And that grace of God softened this hard heart. I was so hard. It softened the hardness in my heart. I was so mad because my father was abusive. I was so mad that I was abused. I was mad he killed himself. I was so mad my father just gave up on life and just left us. I was so mad at everything. I was mad at all authority because it's like it just betrayed me. And I felt so betrayed. I lived the life of an orphan, not understanding that he was an orphan. His father was a Skid Row drunk, and he was raised in an orphanage with his sisters. He didn't know how to father. He didn't know the love of God. My father didn't know the grace of God. He was a military, he was Marine, and he just knew you just work, you work, you work, you work. Are you here? God is totally different. It reminds me of a story how, actually, I need to stick to the point. For the first point, we're saved by grace. How about that one? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We all encounter that at salvation, and I really hope and believe you're going to encounter that today. And I was just reminded of, like, when I was little, and I like weapons, and my dad had the swords. You know how many boys, like, you know, people go, don't give boys swords or toys, you know, it'll hurt them. We'll make them out of sticks. We'll make them out of whatever. We're boys. We'd go out there and play army men, you know, and dad's really in the Marines, but we're going to do it anyway. And I was all boy. And he had the sword. I was always wanting, and you're not allowed to touch the sword, but I would go in there when no one's home. I'd look at his sword. It was so cool. Can I just tell you something? That sword was not given to him by the Marine Corps. Actually, there was a ad, and this ad in the paper was talking about the military, and in it had a picture of a sword, and it said, earned, not given. My dad earned that in active service. He earned that in active combat. He got the Purple Heart. He earned that sword. They didn't just give him a sword. Is there anyone in here? Hoorah. He earned it. But salvation's 100% different. You can't earn it. It's given, not earned. You're saved by grace, 100% grace. It's nothing you do. That's how I got saved, because I knew I was a rat. I mean, I'm just telling you, I knew I was like, there was nothing in me I could say that I earned it. But I came to the point where I finally realized it isn't anything I can earn. And people say, well, you don't know. I'm just trying to, I'll work out these things and then I'll come to Jesus. It's like, nobody earned it and nobody's good enough. You come as you are and you receive a free gift. The gift's been laid out for all of humanity. The question is, will we receive it? So we're saved by grace. So our first response is we have to receive the grace that was given. And as we get that, it's so precious. People say, well, it's free, but it was so costly. Have you ever had a valuable diamond or jewel come out of its setting and get lost? Anybody here, you ever lost a diamond out of a ring or out of something? One time Teresa had one coming loose. I'm like, don't wear that until you get the setting fixed because I don't want to lose it and then buy another diamond, right? I was being cheap, but I was saying like, don't, are you here? I valued the diamond. I paid for that diamond. I'm like, don't lose the diamond because of the setting. Are you with me? Can I tell you something? In Romans, he says this in Romans 3:24, the word of God says, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We need to understand, like this beautiful jewel, we have redemption, we have salvation, but it's in this magnificent setting. Our redemption's in this setting called grace. And it's by that grace that you, the precious jewels, the gems of God, that the world gets to see and is revealing God. Because that grace is the very nature of God. It's his DNA. That's him when we demonstrate that. So today I want to talk about that, how we're saved by grace. It doesn't matter how you feel. Adam and Eve, they didn't feel loved, but they were still loved, even though something entered the garden when they sinned. There's a pattern and a domino effect. And it happens like it's called sin, fear, shame, hiding. Sin, shame, fear, hiding. You sin, you're ashamed, so you get afraid and you hide. And they hid from the presence of God. And there's a lot of God's kids that are distant and separated because they've sinned. Shame comes in. And because of fear, they're hiding from God. Because they think somehow God wants to hurt them when God's on a search party looking for his lost ones. He sent his great love, and he's not going to stop. Listen to this. It's so beautiful. Ephesians 1, verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. It's a whole nother thing. My goodness. When Moses said, let me see your glory, and his goodness passed by. Oh, my goodness. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. By the grace we were accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We're accepted. Say, I'm accepted. I'm accepted. You're accepted into God's family. That's crazy. That concept to me was so foreign. It's like accepted. You're accepted in God's family. I don't feel accepted. You're accepted. You know, even if you don't feel it, you're accepted in the beloved. If you receive forgiveness, the devil will always lie to you and say, you are not accepted. You cannot be a part. But God says you're accepted. Wow. What love. What great love that he loves us so much that his grace allowed us to be accepted. And that by his grace, we're accepted into his family. By his grace, he looks past all our junk and he calls us family. Isn't that what family does? Family looks past the junk. Don't you get to see the junk? Don't you get to see the sins in your family and you look past it because you love, because you're family? Don't you forgive family beyond anything else because they're family? Who's going to believe in them if you're not family? As Christians, we're in God's family. And God is a father, a loving father. He believes in his kids. He knows what he put in you. He knows he created you for greatness. So he looks past that stuff and says, that's not what I'm going to look at. I chose not to look at it. I chose to accept you. I chose to forget and remember your sins no more. It's not like he couldn't remember them. I mean, the devil that works overtime trying to get you to remember them. But God forgives them, so and he forgets them. So we should forgive ourselves and forget. Mark Twain said something. He said, if heaven goes by favor, if it went by merit, you'd stay out of heaven and your dog would go in. I mean, like, really, it's like, here, fetch, good dog, here, have a treat. That's not how heaven works. We don't just get in by what we did. That's crazy. It doesn't work that way. So one, we're saved by grace. The next, we get to live by grace. And this really, if I could just say, this is what I really feel like for today. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. He was saying, it's no longer I who lived, but I'm totally dependent upon walking in this grace. Now, we could look at that and just say, how many of you know that passage? How many of you know Galatians 2:20, and you could quote it? How many of you know Galatians 2:21? Because the very next verse, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. If we are going to walk by faith and live this life of faith, we can't set aside the grace of God. It's not just there at salvation, and then we just somehow now we're going to earn it. Paul said to the church in Galatians, he said, you foolish Galatians, what do you think you're going to do now? You're going to work out your salvation? You're saved by grace, and you still get to live by grace. It's like we get to work. We work hard as Christians because I want to see souls saved. I'll never forget Schindler's List when he looks at the pen and he thinks, I could have sold this to buy more souls because he was buying them out of the Nazi camps. And he looked and he thought, I have a pen. I could have got a couple $100 and I could have bought people's physical lives. And we work hard as Christians to save souls, but our works are not the root of our salvation. It's the fruit of our salvation. We are saved by grace, but then we work because we love him. We work because love is the motivation behind all giving. We're not working for acceptance. We're working from acceptance. And because he accepted me, I'll work harder. Because I can't even believe I'm going to heaven. I can, but I mean, do you know what I'm saying? When you get saved and you're just like, how did you save me? You chased me down like that lost little girl. And you found me out in the dark. And you came and you chased me down and you called me out and you saved me. And he loves you so much, he won't stop chasing after you. You could be sitting here and still running when you get out of here. You could come in and still run when you're out there. But he'll keep chasing you because he loves you. We just need to surrender into his arms. Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you. We just need to find Abba, Daddy God. Say, I found you. People can come into church and say, man, I wanted to do 3 songs, 1 in 15 minutes, and get here. I came for the message. We come and we worship a little longer. After 15, 20, 30 minutes, and now they're doing ministry, we're still worshiping. It's 45 minutes into the service. What are you doing? Can't you get to the message? We're connecting with grace. We're here for a person, Jesus Christ. He's still alive. And we're connecting with the presence of God. We're connecting with grace. Because when you connect with the grace of God, he'll empower you to go out there. Are you with me? How can you give it if you don't get it? But when you get it, it's so much easier to give it. And then we get more and we give more. And you have this process. His grace is so good. He never called you to live a life of faith and then didn't provide what you needed to get and to have that supply in your life. So if you say, I just can't seem to find the faith I need to do what God's called me to do, it's by grace. We keep trying to think like somehow we're going to find it inside ourselves. He graces you with what you need. It's part of his character. Have you ever seen in a child and the child does good and you're like, that's his dad in him? I'm just joking. You know, people are like, I said something to somebody. I'm like, man, that's so awesome what they're doing. It's like, yep, they got that, you know, it was one of the people worshiping that got that from the dad. You know, like you get stuff from the DNA in your family. But you get even DNA from God, from Father God, you get some of his fingerprint. Can I just tell you? Grace is his DNA. And you get it from God. As a matter of fact, it's a supernatural download, and he gives it to you from heaven. So when you keep saying, I'm not one of those people that are super graceful and I find myself having it hard to forgive. Can I just do a little test for you? This is a practical. This one's free. It's not in your notes. The word grace and the word joy, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, right? Joy, one of the three, maybe joy and grace, they come from the same root word. If you're going to walk in joy, you have to find grace. And if you're not walking in grace, you'll never have joy. So when joy's gone, you need to go in and say, I need grace right now. And you need to find grace. And the Bible tells us we can not only find it, but we can live it. We get saved by grace, but we get to walk it out and live by grace. And number three, we get to give grace to others. So when we can't find grace to give, maybe we haven't found the grace that forgives. Maybe there's something in us we need to come and just say, I need to stop being so hard on myself and just get a download from God. If grace is unmerited favor and I get it from God, same thing with joy. Can I just give you that hint? It's from the same word and it comes from the same source. You can't manufacture joy. You can manufacture happiness. Circumstance can produce happiness, but joy comes from a download from God. If we're going to be joyful people on the planet, we have to understand grace. And people who understand grace, they have better, their lives are more joyful. So if you say, well, I'm married to Grumpy Gills, tap into grace. Grace them. Tell them, speak the word over them. By the grace of God, speak the downloads, how God, he loves you so much. And but we need to be graceful ourselves with our words, with our declarations. So we're saved by grace. We live by grace. Number three, we give grace. But to give it, we first have to get it. And I love the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She comes to him. His disciples are like, what are you talking with the woman? It wasn't cultural. And the woman comes and connects with Jesus. And she's talking about water. And Jesus is talking about grace. He's talking about something deeper. And she's saying, how are you going to give me living water when you don't have anything to get it? Then she tapped into grace with skin. Hello, somebody. She found grace and truth, and she connected with the eyes of grace. And suddenly she realized that he still loved her. He's talking to her, and they wouldn't even talk to the best of the Samaritans, let alone her. Are you with me? Jesus called her out. He read her mail. He said, look, you've had five, and even the one you're with now is not your husband. But he's still connected. And she felt the grace of God, and she understood forgiveness. And she left that place understanding, having a revelation of grace. And she went to her city and she called and said, he's told me everything, because grace just tells you everything. It fills in all the blanks. And she came back and she became a powerful woman and a witness for God in her region. History talks about her. She was a powerful apostle in that region who brought revival, and it was powerful. But she first started because she connected with this grace. Because Christ didn't condemn her. She received it. I'm going to wrap this up and get the team back out here. They've got so much more to give. I just want to just end with this and just to tell you, there's people around us who are thirsty. Have you ever been dehydrated physically? Have you ever had it? I've been in the woods where I was so thirsty. I was just so thirsty, but I couldn't eat food because I was dehydrated. We needed water. The world is dehydrated because they don't have grace. But Jesus gave us the answer, and he told the woman at the well, it's going to be like a river that comes in your innermost being and come out of you. It's something supernatural you tap into that you get to give away. Tap into that grace and let God release it to people around you, because there's a deficiency not only just in the people around you, but in our whole world. And I'll leave you with this one in Corinthians. He says, in 2 Corinthians 8:7, he says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, and this is what we're talking about, how do we walk and live in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, and in love? As for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And I just say, abound in grace. Let it come into you and let it come out of you. Grace those around you. Receive it from God. D.L. Moody said it this way. He said, a man can no more take a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough today that's going to last him for the next 6 months, nor can he inhale sufficient air in his lungs with one breath that's going to sustain him for a week to come. we are permitted to draw upon God's store of grace from day to day as we need it. God is rich in grace, and you can get it every day. You can get it every time you find yourself being grumpy gills. You can say, that's a sign I'm lacking grace. God, I need to come to the throne of grace and first start and receive mercy and forgiveness here. And then if I'm not giving it, would you give me something to give to them? Would you give me a download? Will you show me that diamond in the rough? Because all I see is dirt. Hello, somebody. A grace is sufficient and God will bring it.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.